Grand slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Paula Umana. She was a former professional tennis player in her native country of Costa Rica. In fact, between 1992 and 2000, Paula represented the Costa Rica team in the Fed Cup. She had a number one ranking in Central America, put in a lot of time in the professional ranks, and some adversity hit her life when she became pregnant and then developed a neurological disorder characterized by impaired or paralyzed function. And she became a quadriplegic, but there's no stopping Paula, as you'll find out. She goes around speaking very inspiring and touching people's heart, and also talks about her first book, 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. I'd like to welcome Paula Umana to Blessed to Play. Paula, it's great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Ron. I'm so happy to have this beautiful invitation. Most of the times I get invited for speaking in churches and speaking to women, but I love to talk about sports. Because it's part of my life, even now that I'm paraplegic. So thank you so much for this beautiful invitation.
A major part of your life, in fact, and growing up in Costa Rica, the tennis racket became, part of your life, so to speak. You put many hours in on the court. But just tell us about how you became so enamored and loved the sport of tennis.
Well, I am the youngest of seven children. Right now I live in Atlanta, Georgia, but I was born in Costa Rica. So I was the youngest of seven kids, and I remember the first time my dad came home with a tennis racket for me and with a membership of a club. And on that time, we used to use wood rackets. Ron, I think we're kind of the same generation, right? I went to the club and I started hitting the ball against the wall at the Costa Rica tennis club. And I never stopped until, I was like maybe 27. And I remember, when my dad signed me up for the first tournament and I started dreaming about becoming a good tennis player. But it was hard because we were seven kids, and in the country club, there was only maybe four or five courts. So my dad used to wake us up very early in the morning, like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and said, "We have to go to play now because nobody's in the club yet." So, he grabbed all the children and start playing. But with the days and with the months, some of my siblings says, "I'm tired. I want to keep sleeping. I don't want to play." But I was, me and one of my sisters, we were the only ones say, "Yes, we want to go." And we keep waking up and playing. And this is how it became my passion.
Yeah. And I have visions of John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg with the wooden racket, the headband and the wristbands. And you don't see that anymore. But what a time in women's tennis as well. Of course, Steffi Graf, Chris Evert, Martina Navratilova, some of the greats of the games. And I'm sure you looked up to these women of tennis. But what type of style of play and what professional tennis player of that time did you look up to?
I remember when I was little, I used to love Ivan Lendl. I don't know. I remember having posters of him and all that. And for women's tennis, yes, at the beginning when I was little, it was still Chris Evert. But then when I became professional, Gabby Sabatini and Steffi Graf were, on the top of the world, of course. So I used to admire them, the way they play and everything. And also Monica Seles, she was from my generation. When I was little, it was more Ivan Lendl, I remember.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Paula Umana, a former professional tennis player. In fact, she had number one ranking in Central America back in the day. and she's author of the book 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. Now, Paula, we talked about, I thought you might have practiced on clay, but you corrected me quickly, saying there's a lot of rain in Costa Rica and it wouldn't be conducive to clay. So a lot of your tennis really was on the hard court.
Yeah, it was most of the time in hard courts. And actually all Central America, most of them, only maybe El Salvador was a country that I used to compete in clay courts. But in Costa Rica, most of the courts are hard courts. And the person that really introduced me to take tennis more serious was my brother-in-law when I was 15, because he came to the United States at that time. And he came back, he became, I remember, a boyfriend of my sister. Now, of course, he's her husband years later. And he opened a tennis academy there. It is called Orange Tennis Academy because his last name in Spanish, orange is naranja, you know, and his last name is Naranjo. So he put that name on the tennis academy and he, you know, he was a good player and he studied, he gets certified in the United States, I remember. And he came to the country and says, Paula, would you like to take tennis more serious? Would you like to, you know, play more, try to play professional? That time was really hard for me to figure it out. How am I going to become a tennis professional player if there is no professional tournaments in my country? And I'm the youngest of seven. How are we going to make this work? So I start to look for sponsors, and the airline of Costa Rica gave me the tickets, and there was another company that started to give me pay for the traveling and all that, because, of course, being, you know, the youngest of seven was hard, you know. And I remember the first time I came to the United States to play and compete when I was maybe 16 years old. And I was so impressed about how organized everything was, how clean everywhere was, and the tennis courts and the places and the tournaments, you know, and how beautiful it was to come and play here. So sometimes we don't realize how beautiful and how easy it is to practice sports in the United States comparing to other countries, you know, because it's way more developed, and the coaching too, you know. So for me, it was fascinating to come to the U.S. and start practicing here and eventually moving here when I was in my, you know, around 16, 17 to Florida and start to practice there and take tennis, you know, as a career.
Now, I want to talk about this number one ranking, Paula. This is quite a feat. You were number one ranked in Central America, so this is not just Costa Rica. And put in a lot of hard work. You represented Costa Rica in the Fed Cup team as well. But talk about all the preparation and, you know, achieving that high ranking. That had to be satisfying for you.
Yes, of course. I mean, when you have a dream, you know, that you want to become a good player, there is not secret more than the dedication, you know, and of course, the talent. I would dare to say that I was not a very talented player, but I used to practice, I don't know, Ron, it was maybe between 6 and 8 hours a day between, you know, gym work and, you know, hard performance and the drills and playing and match and play and all that. So, of course, my level of motivation was from 100, 120. Yeah, I was working always so hard because my dream was to become number one in the world. hopefully we can have the same motivation to go to heaven, right, Ron? You know, that say, let me give the best of myself. So I learned that, and my coach, you know, he prepares me for that. And it was a lot of effort. And when you want to become a good sport person, you know, it's a package. It's not only practice the sport, is the, you know, of course, your nutrition, is how you feel emotionally, is how close you are to God to help you because you can burn out, you know, and the support of the family and a lot of things. I remembered my main support came from my sisters because I was the youngest of seven, so they support me a lot. And when I was living in tennis academies in Florida, every time I was going under stress or maybe the girls at the tennis academy were bullying me or things were not easy, I used to go to a Catholic church in Key Biscayne called St. Agnes Catholic Church. And after tennis practice, at the end of the day, grab my bike and just spend time with the Lord, talking to him, saying everything I was feeling. Because when you practice a professional sport, you go through so many stages, and sometimes you feel lonely too, you know. Especially tennis is not a team sport. It's by yourself. It's you by yourself. You're dealing with situations and everything. So, of course, the effort was amazing, you know, crazy all the time.
Yeah, that body, mind, and spirit connection is so important for the professional athlete. And as you mentioned, tennis, unless you're playing doubles, is an individual sport. And that mental balance that you need to perform to your optimum is so important. I'm chatting today with Paula Umana, a former professional tennis player, achieved a number one ranking in Central America back in the day. Paula, before we go to the break, I never saw you play, but what did you rely on more? Was it the forehand or the backhand?
Well, more than my shots, I would say I was a good player because I was very consistent. Like, I remember for me playing a match was more like a marathon, and I said, I was not very aggressive, Ron. It was more like, okay, I'm going to stay here. If I have to be until midnight, I'm not going to do a mistake. So I used to drive crazy my opponent because I never had any hurry. I was like, I'm here and I'm going to keep playing and putting the ball in the court until the other one is going to miss it. And that was my way to play. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, I want to talk with Paula about a time of adversity. She would have to really rely on God herself to get through this most difficult time that would change her life forever. We're talking with Paula Umana, former professional tennis player. Keep it right here. You're listening to Blessed to Play.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, on the first Pentecost you instructed the hearts of those who believed in you by the light of the Holy Spirit. Under the inspiration of the same Spirit, give us a taste for what is right and true, and a continuing sense of his presence and power. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Paula Umana. Great tennis player, folks. She played in her native country of Costa Rica and achieved a number one ranking in all of Central America, played professional tennis, trained in the United States, lived out her dream, so to speak, and she did coaching as well. And so tennis was very an important part of Paula's life. And we talked about how she achieved so much on the athletic side. And Paula, I want to really get into the discussion now about an event that really changed your life after the birth of your fifth child. And, you know, you came down with a neurological disorder characterized by impaired or paralyzed function, and you are a quadriplegic. So obviously being so athletic, movement was very much part of your life, and all of a sudden your life changed forever. I want you to take us back to that time, your thinking, going through what you went through and how you processed all that when you had this really unfortunate news.
Thank you, Ron. Yes. On 2002, I got married with a French man, Serge, my husband, and we moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And we have a big family. I have four kids, and I got pregnant on my fifth child, Charles. And when I was pregnant, I started to develop an illness in my neurological system that was very, very difficult until I get all paralyzed. The baby was born in 2014. And in 2015, for around summer, I was in a hospital with people after they have car accidents and they, you know, become paraplegic. And I start to deal with the hardest situation of my life, of course, being away from my children, suffering a lot, and trying to recover from what was going on in my body. It was very confusing. It was very, very difficult. But I remember also being in the hospital in Shepherd Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Having all these therapies was almost the same as being in a tennis academy, you know, fighting, trying to get, I was like, I need my body to come back, you know. So it became something really, really difficult for me. It's a condition that has a very long name. It's called chronic inflammatory demyelin polyneuropathy. I'm sorry, Ron, it's very long, the name. But it's something that attacks the nerves of your body, and you just can't move. So it was a very hard time of my life. It was 10 years ago almost. It was very confusing and very hard. Mm-hmm. But with a lot of prayers, with a lot of hard work, and with the help of the Blessed Mother, miracles happened in my life. And right now, I'm still paraplegic, but I use some devices on my legs, and I can walk. The other part of me that I haven't shared with you, Ron, is since I moved here 22 years ago to the United States, I created my own tennis company. And I'm a tennis coach right now. Mm-hmm. And my company is in Atlanta, you know, in 6 private schools. We give after school programs. And when I got ill, I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to keep teaching. But the company continue, and I learned how to teach tennis from a wheelchair. I learned how to teach tennis in a scooter. I learned how to teach tennis driving with hand controls and using bioptic glasses and all the word of what is a disability, you know. And I still do that, you know. And because all that happens to me, I wrote this book, 40 Gifts of Hope. And God has opened so many doors for me also to become a Catholic speaker. And that is, you know, one of my ministries now. And I love it because God sent me everywhere to talk in churches and to young people and women's events or, you know, and enjoy how to share, you know, to share my story and to inspire people, you know, how to deal with sufferings in life and how to play their tennis matches.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting with Paula Umana. She's the author of the book, 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. So, Paula, you're diagnosed with CIDP, and obviously your life has changed, although you have a number of devices and things that can help you be more mobile. But, you know, suffering, many people could talk about suffering, but until you live it out, you really don't know what it is. Talk about how suffering changed your life, and then talk about that faith perspective that you do now have that not only helps you deal with suffering, but it makes you become more of a complete person and when you're trying to get other people to relate to what suffering is.
Yeah, it was a torture for me, of course, being a tennis champion, and then one day, and the next, I mean, after a while, being paralyzed. Of course, it's a trauma. It's terrible. It's horrible, the experience, of course, and for everybody, and especially to lose your independence. But when those situations come and my body start to come back, it was amazing how I just celebrate the fact of moving, you know, the fact of being able to do things, little by little. But what I would say about the topic of suffering is now one of my passions to talk about it. And I have a talk called Overcoming Suffering. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, very important for me. I learned that when suffering comes, we try to avoid it. And it's okay. It's our nature. We try to find solutions, but sometimes it's not possible. So it is very important to accept the situations. This is the first step with the Lord and surrender on the Lord. And that gives us a lot of freedom and make us feel way different. Because if we just feel miserable, like Mother Angelica used to say, a bad management of suffering is a wasting of your time. And you make everybody's life impossible. So it's okay to cry. It's okay to have a hard time. It's okay to, you know, to think my life is different or something changes. But after a while, it's very important to accept it and offer it to the Lord back. You know, what we call redemptive suffering. And it's our responsibility to get prepared for that. As we get prepared for games, as we get prepared for matches, for sports, as we compete, we have to get ready for life when the suffering is going to come, like you're going to play a match. And what are the tools that you're going to use in your life to manage the suffering? So one of them is acceptance. The other one I want to share with you is offer your sufferings. And the third one I tell you is use what you have, you know, use what you have today. Use, if you don't have, like me, you know, I have my arms. Okay, use your arms. Don't think about, oh, I cannot walk well. It's just focusing what you have available today to serve the Lord and to do, you know, the best you can for the Lord and for your family.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, once again chatting with Paula Umana, former professional tennis player and author of the book, 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. Now, Paula, the paralysis was not a death sentence, obviously, but it was an obstacle, and you used this obstacle to find your way closer to God. So maybe you could just talk briefly to the people listening out there. Everyone deals with suffering on some level, right? But how do we use this suffering in light of our spirituality to become closer to God?
Well, let me give you a practical exercise to make it not, because I'm not a theologist or anything, right? Practical exercise. Do a list of people that you know that is suffering, or like friends that you know that they are praying for something, you know, or look at your children. You want them to accomplish things in life. Look at people around you. Look at their needs. You know, it's very easy to look at them. We can look at thousands of them around us. So once you have that clear, when the suffering comes in your life, go to the cross and offer to God your suffering for all those intentions, for the intentions of your loved ones, and also for your personal intentions. If you have a son or a daughter that you see is not on the right way, went away from God, instead of telling them all day, go back to church, offer your sufferings for them. And what happened is that when we do that exercise, I don't know how to explain you this, but we get in a special stage of grace, mm-hmm. and we are privileged. We live in a stage of privilege and purification. So the suffering, instead of being a burden, becomes a blessing. And we can live in joy on that stage. And I'm not saying that from the book. I'm not saying that because I learned it in a class. I'm saying that because I learned how to practice it every day, being a paraplegic person. And also how you can serve the Lord with your sufferings and your weaknesses. You know, now I became a speaker, and every time I go on the stage, I feel I'm playing a Grand Slam finals, you know, and it's difficult, and I'm nervous, and I feel the same thing that I used to feel when I play a match, but I say, okay, Lord, let's use all these horrible things for you and for others, and especially because, Ron, I think we all have the same goal, that is to go to heaven and bring people to heaven, and we just focus on that and move on. And we can work a lot through our sufferings for the kingdom and for the Lord, you know. So that is my practical advice.
Yeah, those are some good words. And I heard once said, if you don't have butterflies, that means you really don't care. So butterflies are a good thing. It gets the body ready. We only have a couple minutes remaining, but I wanted to just pose this question to you. All your athletic training, those hours on the court, dealing with dedication, perseverance, overcoming adversity in the athletic sense. Did that help you going through this trial of, you know, being a quadriplegic and just dealing with that?
Of course. Of course. The sports change our lives. I suggest everybody do sports at any level, at any age. Even if you cannot move, I'm sure you can do some sport from the bed. That helps me so much, definitely, and until the day of today, because I play every day. Okay, today, how I'm going to play this match? How I'm going to speak on Ron's, you know, program? So it helps me so much, and it helps me so much to inspire young people, old people, ladies, and in my situation that I have a disability, you know, I am going to be 50. I think I'm still a little bit young. But when old people see me, I can, you know, inspire them because they know I went through something that usually some people go in there in their elderly years, you know. So it definitely helps a lot. And right now I can dare to say I'm very thankful of what happens to me because I can work for the Lord. I can be a speaker for Him. And also, you know, I'm doing a beautiful project with EWTN about stories of people with disabilities so I can understand them, what they're going through. So, you know, the sports and the suffering helped me so much now to serve the Lord on this beautiful ministry. And, you know, I love to go anywhere. If you want to bring me over, I'll be very happy to go to your parish or your organization to speak to you, your community.
Yeah, and Paula's speaking right now. You could go to her website, paulaspeaker.com, and go hear her story in detail. Very inspiring. And I'll let our listening audience in on something. If you go hear Paula speak, there might be some foam tennis balls coming from where the podium is, your direction. So be on alert for that.
And Ron, also, I forgot to tell you, my book is available at the EWTN Religious Catalog. You can go there and look at 40 Gifts of Hope in English and Spanish. It's available at EWTN Religious Catalog.
Well, there you go. Go out and get that book, 40 Gifts of Hope, Encouragement in Times of Sickness and Suffering. Our guest has been Paula Umana. Inspiring speaker, inspiring woman. Paula, thanks so much for joining us today on Blessed to Play.
Thank you so much, Ron. God bless you all. Muchas gracias. Que Dios los bendiga.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Paula Umana, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.